2 Timothy chapter 2. I understand the time. We won't be long this morning, but there's been something on my heart for a while that I realize this week why it was on my heart. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy, like 1 Timothy, Paul is in prison. It's one of the prison epistles in that he is confined by Rome when he writes it. I want you to look what he says in verse 8. It says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto what?" That's a description. That's his imprisonment. "But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that I may also obtain salvation, or that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." The Apostle Paul says, "I'm in prison right now. I'm not because of something I did. I'm suffering trouble as an evildoer, but I'm not an evildoer. And I've suffered even to bonds at this point. But the word of God is not bound." That's a great statement. In other words, I may be bound, but the gospel is not bound. It's while Paul is in prison, he meets a runaway slave named Onesimus. And he shows us that even in prison, the word of God is not bound because Onesimus comes to know Christ as his Savior. It's while in the Philippian jail, after being beaten with Silas, that Paul won the jailer to the Lord, and more likely the prisoners that they were incarcerated with. Why? Because the word of God is not bound. In Philippians 1:12, Paul speaks of his imprisonment when he says, "But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." How in the world? You're in prison, you're bound. How can they get there? Because the word of God is not bound. What a great thought that is. I thought to myself, the word of God's not bound by geographical limits. In Romans 1, Paul said to the church at Rome, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Why? Because the word of God is not bound. 1 Thessalonians 1, that church, Thessalonica, that received the gospel under persecution and under adversity, he says this, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." He said, you know what? Everywhere we go, we hear about you. It's not that Thessalonica had sent missionaries out, but it's that their story was told to someone else who told it to someone else. And he said, everywhere we go, we have no need to speak of it. Why? Because the word of God is not bound. I would say historically, the word of God has never been bound by persecution. Every time Satan has sought to destroy the witness of God's people, it's only served to crush vessels out of which greater fragrance comes forth, such as the Waldenses, if you've ever read the story. Absolute entire villages that were absolutely annihilated, adults, moms and dads, children, absolutely whipped out for what, destroyed for one reason, and that was for their testimony of Jesus Christ. And yet, the Waldenses spread the gospel all around that region. You say, why? Because every time that Satan is sought through persecution to stop the gospel, it only blossoms. Why? Because you can't bind the word of God. Amen. You can't do it. Amen. I thought about this. I thought about Stephen, who was stoned to death. Something out of that gruesome scene stuck in the heart of a man who would eventually take the gospel of the world, named Apostle Paul. God can move his gospel even in death. The disciples were beaten, and it only served to cause the word of God to be spoken with much more boldness. You say, why? Because the word of God is not bound. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that that track you put down, no matter how small of an effort you think that was, the word of God's not bound? Well, it's been years ago. I haven't even thought about it until just right now. I got a letter Someone in this church, I don't know, my wife and I used to, you know, at one time, you didn't pay for things online. You actually wrote checks and put them in letters and actually put them in the mail. Does anybody remember those days? They went with records and everything else, right? They're just CDs, cassette tapes, 8-track tapes. Yeah. I received a letter from a guy, I don't even remember his name now. I believe I still have it in my office. It was years ago, but he worked down at the Fifth Third Bank down in Fountain Square. He said, "Dear Pastor Greer," he said, "you don't know me. My name is such and such." He said, "I work every Sunday in the collections department or in the billing department of the Fifth Third Bank down at Fountain Square." He said, "Apparently someone from your church has a practice of putting gospel tracts in their bill." He said, "I received that bill, and I just wanted you to know that I bowed my head just now and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior." You know why? Because the Word of God is not bound. As a matter of fact, as I think about that, the wise men came from the east looking for him that was born King of the Jews. You say, why? How did they even hear? They heard because they were descendants of Abraham. Remember, Abraham married Keturah, a second wife, after that Sarah had passed away, and he had children by her, and he sent them to the east. Oh, it was his children that no doubt he told. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced in it, and he told them, and they began to tell the story and continued to tell the story. And don't ever feel like it's a waste of time to tell the gospel stories to your little children, that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, because you don't know where it's going to go, and you don't know if it's going to sink into the hearts of those grandchildren, those great grandchildren. You have no idea where it's going to go. It may be frivolous. It may to you. It may seem like a small effort to you. It may seem like it may never go anywhere. But would you take comfort and joy in the fact that the Word of God is not bound? The Word of God's not bound by culture. Even though Jesus Christ came to win his own and they received him not, it was the Gentiles at the end of his ministry. How? Why? I don't know. But they came and said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." The story was told years ago. Years ago, I heard the story from the missionary it was supposed to have happened to. He said there was a tribe, and I forget where the tribe was at, and I forget what their particular worship was. But he said the chief, whatever it was, he knew there was something missing, just like this man. No satisfaction, he said, and he climbed up into a tall tree, his story, and he looked up in his language. He just cried out, "More light, I need more light." Little did that chief know that God was dealing with this missionary's heart at that time to go to that field, that very field where that chief would be. And he went and he saw the chief and he won the chief to Christ. You say, why? Because the Word of God is not bound. As a matter of fact, as I look at it, it's an amazing thing to me, but there's only one thing in this world that I can know of or that I can think of that binds the Word of God. And that's us. That's it. If you let it out, I mean, Paul said, "I'm in prison, but it's not bound." But it wasn't bound because he spoke it. It wasn't bound because there was someone to give it to. It wasn't bound because there was an effort. The Lord told Ezekiel one day, he said, "Ezekiel, I've made you a watchman." He said, "If you warn the wicked and they will not turn from their ways," he said, "they'll die in their iniquity." He said, "but you will have delivered yourself." He said, "but if you don't warn them and they die in their iniquity," he said, "their blood will I require at your hands." They'll still die in their iniquity. I think about the only way that we don't bind the Word of God is when we're doing our best in our personal life and the life of the church to get it out. I thought about that. I'm in prison, but it's not bound. Preacher, I don't speak very well, and I don't know how good of a witness I would be, but the Word of God is not bound. I wish we'd just take that seriously. Take it seriously, the fact that we have people that are going to a foreign field, and they're going to testify of the grace of God. Who knows where it'll go? Who knows what it will do? Who knows what those tracks back there, who knows what they will accomplish? I just have a few thoughts this morning on this thought. The Word of God is not bound. I hope it's encouraging. At the same time, I hope it's convicting. Can it be both? I wrote this down. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at the verses in just a second. But can I say this? The Word of God is not bound while in the hands of a good soldier. Paul is speaking of a soldier. He says in verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." Do you remember what Paul said in verse 10? "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake." He said in verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." He makes three mentions of that soldier, and he says this. He said the soldier has to learn to endure hardness. What's hardness? Hardness could be their faces. You know what hinders most people here from being a vocal witness in your arena, in your area of influence? You know what the number one thing is? We're afraid of their faces. We're afraid of their reaction. That was Ezekiel's issue. Ezekiel didn't want to go to the people down by the river Chebar. He said this, God said, "I've made your face, your forehead, stronger against them than theirs is to you." He says, "Adamant stronger than flint, so is your forehead to them." Now, he didn't feel any different. But the problem was, he was going to look at their face. "Oh, I wish I could raise hands," and I wouldn't mind raising my hand, but I wonder how many of us just have a hard time being a vocal witness for Jesus Christ because you're afraid of their hostile response, their dissatisfied response, their condescending response, their mockery response. He says, you know what? The Word of God's not bound as long as it's the hand of a good soldier, and a good soldier endures hardness. A good soldier endures hardness. You know, I think it's just learn to endure on the simplest of things. How long do you carry a weight? I don't know, but carry it till it hurts and then carry it longer. How long do you pull the rope? I don't know. Carry it or pull it until it hurts. And after you pull it until it hurts, pull it longer. You have no idea. Maybe it's that next step. I'm not going to be eloquent. God wasn't looking for eloquent. He was looking for willing. It was Moses' complaint. I don't speak well. I was talking to someone this week, and I've listened to a few. I've watched a few of my sermons, and every time I do, I wish I did better. I wish I was more. I listened to Ken Bates. Ken Bates is probably one of the most polished. I mean, he knows how to deliver something. He can go ahead and paint the. And I sit and listen to him and say, "Lord, I wish I could do that." And I can't. I'm trying. I'm working on it. One day I'll be here, and I'll be like this, and I'll just be able. I will give it out like that, and you'll feel like an angel spoke, amen? Yeah. But until then, you just have the nasty now and now, amen? But the fact is, good soldier endures hardness. Psalms 94, "Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things?" Yeah, you're not the first one to worry about hard statements. Hard responses. You're not the first. It's as old as Psalms. But a good soldier endures hardness. You know, I find myself and my kids. I want to find myself not, and I'm terrible for this. I really am. I mean, Wednesday night, I jump off of the, I'm about ready to fall down the steps, and I jump, and about three steps, I land on my left heel. I've got to tell you about that. You know why? Because I'm a whiner, that's why. And honest to goodness, I just wish I'd shut up about it. So, well, just shut up about it. Don't tell me what to do. I do. I sit back and think, you know, why can't I just endure something quietly? There's absolutely, if you would, there is a character, a Christian character, to enduring something quietly. The Apostle Paul, he said, you know, what I go through for your sake. I go through for the sake of those that might be saved. I go through it. But he never talked about, when he talked about what he went through, it was very small. There was one place. One place where we get a glimpse of what he goes through. When Corinth was criticizing him in 2 Corinthians, and he lists off the things, he said, "I'm going to speak as a fool. I'm going to brag about what I've gone through. I'm going to brag about what I've suffered," because you've got people there and they're drawing you away from Christ because they're bragging about themselves. And in that braggadocious point of his text, when he says, "I speak as a fool," He said, who is weak and I am not weak? He said, who is offended and I burn not? I thought, Paul, if you had never written it, we'd have never known. We'd have never known you hurt. We'd have never known you'd suffer. We'd never known that you were struggling with bitterness. A good soldier endures. Can I ask you a question? I know my answer. What is it you cave to? Because the Word of God is not bound as long as it's in the hands of a good soldier. He not only said, endure hardness, but he said, don't become entangled with this world. Financially, we become entangled. Emotionally, we become entangled. Politically, we become entangled. I found myself recently, once again, it seems like everything weaves back to COVID. I'm so sick of COVID, I can't see straight. I've been sick with COVID, and now I'm sick of COVID. Amen. I really am. I'm so tired of the vaccine. I really am. Should I get it? Shouldn't I get it? Well, get it if you want. I'm not telling people not to get it. But I'm just tired of talking about it. What would have happened if we had spent all the time talking about that, talking about Jesus Christ? What if when someone says, COVID, what do you think we're going to do? Well, if it's not COVID, it's something else. What are you going to do when you die? What if we had turned that into some kind of witness for Jesus Christ? It's not bound as long as it remains in the hands of a good soldier. And a good soldier endures hardness. And a good soldier doesn't become entangled in this world. Then he says this. He says, and if a man strive for the masteries, yet he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. You know what the masteries are? There's no question what the masteries are. When Moses came back down with Joshua from the mount, the Lord said, get down, the people have corrupted themselves. They're heading down and Moses said, hey, listen, I think I hear a battle going on. It wasn't a battle, it was the music and all the clamor. And Moses said this, he said, that's not a battle. He said, neither they that strive for masteries. You know what the mastery is? Mastering someone else, beating someone else, overcoming someone else. You know what he said? He said, a good soldier, he says, as he strives for the masteries, he has to strive lawfully. Look up here for a second. Every one of us go through battles in our life. Say amen right there. And if you're going to be a good soldier, you can't let the battles make you wrong. You can't let the battles turn you wrong. So often the battles, all they've done is made us bitter. All they've done is consumed our thoughts. All they've done is become our conversations and the subject matter. And I find the Word of God is not bound while it's in the hands of a good soldier. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then bite your tongue and give somebody a gospel tract. If you believe that, then just pinch yourself. And while you're pinching yourself, tell someone they need to be saved. A preacher, what would that do? You have no idea. You ever thought about Paul in prison and there's Onesimus, who's this runaway slave? This runaway Greek slave, he's over there in the corner. He's caught. He fears he's going to be sent back to his master. Well, how did Paul break the ice? How do you broach the subject? Isn't that the issue? We can't be too plain, right? We have to have some kind of a neat way to slide it in. Right. What are you here for? Well, I'm a runaway slave. Well, you know what? You're a slave to sin too. Or maybe he just looked at him and said, are you saved? Tell me, you know who Jesus Christ is? When I say Jesus Christ, what's he mean to you? Did you hear what Paul said? He said, I'm in prison. He said, even to bonds. I've suffered even to bonds, but the Word of God is not bound. Can I ask you this question? Do you feel like it's bound with you? How much does it get out with you? I told him in Sunday school, I'm very, very thankful. I'm very thankful that years ago my wife and I started giving to missions. A few years ago, a couple years ago maybe, I don't know, I sat down and started trying to calculate all the years we've given to missions and God's given us grace to be faithful at it. And I came up with a number that was pretty big for me, might not be pretty big for you, but it's pretty big for me. As I looked at it, I wasn't proud of what I had done. I was thankful of what he allowed me to do. And I said, God, thank you. Thank you that you've allowed us to remain faithful. You've given us a grace, because at least here's one thing. At least here's one area in my life where the Word of God is not bound. I told him in Sunday school, I said, listen, missions giving is one of the easiest things. You say, preacher, I have a hard time talking to people. Then give something to missions. Let somebody else talk. I couldn't handle it to hand a tract to someone. Then give something to missions and send a tract. I remember years ago, one of the first missions conferences we had, I was up seeing Wash Pennington up at the track league, and they had these boxes about this big. I think I've told about it before. 5,000 tracts. I didn't know what it was. I said, Brother Wash, what's those tracts? Or what's those boxes? He said, well, those are boxes of tracts that have been ordered, and we're waiting on the funds to send them. He said, Brother, we operate by faith, but the post office doesn't. That's what I remember you saying that. And I said, how much are they? He said, $20. We'll get that over there. And what I did, I said, give me some. I wasn't even up there for that. I don't remember what I was up there for, but I thought, give me some. We were in missions conference. And I got a bunch of them. You remember it? It went from one side to the other. And I got up and I said this. I got up and I said, how many would like to send 5,000 missionaries to the field? I was just hoping to get the majority of them gone. They were gone and people wanted more. I had to go back. I lowered them up again. They took those. I had to go back. You say, why? Because there's so many things that we don't do well and so many things we don't do faithfully. But you mean for $20, I can send 5,000 missionaries overseas? It's just a tract. The Word of God is not bound. There was a woman that I used to attend here. I think I told you about, I told someone about her not long ago. She worked at Kroger and she was stocking the wine and the beer section. Someone was walking through and just took a track and popped the track in between some wine bottles. She said she saw it, she pulled it out and she put it in her smock, and she said she went to the break room after she was done. She sat down, opened it up, and she said, I read that and I bowed my head and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You say, why? Because the Word of God is not bound. Paul said, they can imprison me, but they can't imprison it. They can shut me up, but they can't shut it up. Do we believe that? The Word of God's not bound. It's not bound as long as it's in the hand of a faithful soldier. I thought about this. The Word of God is not bound as long as we stay in the Word. In 2 Timothy 2, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. We know that verse. But would you notice what it says in verse 16? But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eateth doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is already past. Read that aloud with me. And overthrow the faith of some. You know why they were overthrown? Because they didn't stay in the Scripture. Someone came along and said, the resurrection's already past. They said, what? And they'd lay awake at night in their bed and they'd be thinking about that. And it bothered them. And it bothered them. And rather than going to Scriptures and getting to the Scriptures and study to show thyself approved, he said, for. He said, no, he said, but shun profane. He said, stay in the book and be careful what you listen to and what you roll around in your head. Because there's some people and their faith was overthrown. Now look up here and listen to me. If that be the case, if some people's faith was overthrown, after the faith was overthrown, how much gospel, how much Word of God do you think came from them? After they were overthrown, after they were out of church, after they quit reading their Bible, how much of the Word of God do you think they were a fountain of? Would you not agree with me? Their witness probably dried up as much as they did. And the Word of God was bound. Why? Because someone didn't stay in the Scriptures. Not only this, can I tell you something? If you get in the Scriptures, I'm telling you what, if you don't know what it's like to be in the Scriptures and reading and having God just pull something out and just, I'm not talking about, just show you something. It's like, oh, wow. And man, you look for someone to tell. Has anybody, it's, God showed me something. I need to tell someone. I told you when the first time that happened was over in Goshen, and it was Romans chapter 7. And boy, when it opened up and I understood that old nature, new nature, that battle that goes on, I thought I saw something that nobody had ever seen before. I'm not kidding. I thought, I have got something. I have got a nugget here that's been undug. I mean, I am a spiritual archaeologist. I found something no one's ever seen. oh man. And I'm looking for, Sonia, come here. I got to show Sonia. I go back to church. I got to show people at church. I remember the first time I was in the book of Job. This is a funny one. Not the first time I was in the book of Job, but I was reading through it. And of course, I always thought that Samuel wrote Samuel Exodus wrote Exodus. No, I knew that Moses wrote those five books, but you thought Job, if it was after a name of someone, you thought they wrote it. Well, Job didn't write Job. And I remember when I was over there in the latter part of it, and I saw a change in the pronouns, that's what it is, and I realized that Elihu is the writer of it. And I thought I saw something nobody else will see. Now I got a little cocky. Has anybody ever found something in the Bible got cocky? Would you raise your hand and help me here, please? One. Okay, we got one. Okay, yeah. I got cocky. I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to test my pastor out. So I go to church, and I said, hey, brother. He said, yeah. I said, who wrote the book of Job? Now, I'm waiting. He's going to say, Job. I say, no, he didn't. Right? Who wrote the book of Job? He said, well, Elihu did, didn't he? You know, I'm telling you what. You'd be surprised what from your reading God would use, what he would weave into your daily life, what he'd weave into your interactions with people. You'd be surprised what he'd use if you just stay in the Bible. You know, the Word of God is not bound as long as Christians stay in it. Stay in it. A whole lot of the problems we've got today in America is simply because Christians didn't stay in their Bible. The Word of God is not bound while it's in the hands of a good soldier. The Word of God is not bound while we stay in the Word of God. There's another one. The Word of God is not bound as long as we remember what God can do with us. Now, for this, I want you to go to Philippians. Ephesians, Philippians. Because, and I'm going to show you the same issues going on here, okay? The same issues going on. Paul's writing them in verse 12 of chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. The word of God is not bound as long as we remember what God can do with us. Can I say this? God can use any and every circumstance within our life if we'll only be obedient to his word. What Paul was saying was this. Apparently, the Philippian church had heard how Paul had been treated, and it upset them. I understand that. But Paul, in writing, tries to calm them and give them a different perspective. All they see is what he suffered. But Paul sees it through the lens of the word of God's not bound. He said, even in my bonds, he said, it's gone to the palace. It's gone to the king's house. There's even brethren that have waxed bold because they've heard what's gone on. And my story is what has been the catalyst to make them more bold in preaching the gospel. And all he did was look at his circumstance, his situation, his trouble, by what God did with it. I remember years ago when Jim Fallour was here. He was here for a meeting. It might have been a missions conference. He said this. He was talking about the influx of immigrants across the southern border. Now, I have to tell you something. I have to tell you that I think that any country that has sensibility needs to have guards at the border and needs to be careful about who they let in. I would agree with that, all right? I'm not certainly not against immigration because we are a country of immigrants. He said something. He said, everybody, you know how Brother Fleur talks like this, you know. He said, you know how everybody's upset about the border and all the Mexicans coming in? He said, you know, I think it is. He said, I think it's we wouldn't go to him, so God bringing them to us. And I had never thought it from that perspective. Want to be a missionary to Mexico? Oh, preacher, I couldn't move to Mexico. You don't have to now. 30,000 plus Mexicans in Cincinnati just learned the language. Because we never look at it by what God can do with it. We always look at it from a political standpoint or an economic standpoint or a personal conflict standpoint. The Word of God's not bound as long as it's in the hand of a good soldier. The Word of God is not bound as long as we stay in the Word. The Word of God is not bound as long as we remember what God can do with it. Paul had been imprisoned. Philippians were upset. He tells them they need to understand of all the things that has happened and fallen out because of what he went through. Paul was always looking for God working in and through his circumstances. So he tells Timothy in our last text, therefore I endure all things. He believes God could work in all things. He believed that God could advance the gospel in all things. God can use anything. God can use everything. If we would just, and you say, but preacher, I can't necessarily see it. You don't have to see it. You just got to believe it. Just believe it. God, the Word of God is not bound. Binding the Word of God, I wrote this down, binding the Word of God is like trying to darken the sun with a cloth. It's like trying to stop the flow of a great river with a dam. And I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute, a dam does stop the river. No, it doesn't. You put a dam across the river and you know what they put in? They put outlets. Why? Because it can't hold everything back. If they don't let water through, it's going to go over, it's going to go around, or it's going to go through. You say, why? That's exactly what binding the Word of God is like. It can't be bound except for those to whom it's been given. If they choose not to put it out there. We have this in our backyard. We have this weed. I don't know what it is. It's a weed. It's one of those weeds that just start traveling all over the place. It is the only thing I can grow well. And it is all over the backyard. All over. All right? Now, we also have over here, we have English ivy. Does anybody know what English ivy is? English ivy covers everything. Well, when we first moved there, we had this big bunch of English ivy. I guess I can grow English ivy pretty good too, right? And so I found the bottle of Scorch the Earth stuff. And I sprayed it all over the English ivy, you know, so on like that. And it all died. And then I wish I hadn't done it. I was thinking, man, I wish that English ivy was out because it kind of, you know, it kind of goes over the landscaping walls and looks rather, you know, looks rather English, British, you know. And it climbs up the walls and stuff like that, goes in windows. You get the idea, right? And I decided there was a little bit that was left, and I thought, I'm just going to leave that alone and see what it does. Man, that stuff has worked its way into the backyard, come around the front yard, going up. Did I lose it? Why don't you guys tell me something like this, man? You are the worst audience I've ever seen in my life, right? You should go, you know, something, all right? Yeah, point like this. He does. Right. But that stuff is absolutely, absolutely taken over. It can't be stopped. It's just going to keep going, keep going, keep going, and keep going. That's like the Word of God. If we would just believe that God could use work in us, work through us, to his advancement. But preacher, I just don't see how what's going on in my life. I know that. I know that. There are people in this church, and I don't know how they could not have, I don't know how they could not have advanced the gospel with their adversity. Because the way they went through it would cause anybody to say, what do you have? The Word of God is not bound. God can use anything. He can use jail. He can use illness. He can use financial disaster. If they end up passing $3.5 trillion, if they end up spending over the next 10 years $22 trillion, it is absolutely going to break our economy in two. We've got to stop it. Well, I don't want to see it happen either, but can I tell you this? I bet there'll be a lot of people just like him. We just don't see it like that. What can God do with this? Why? Because the Word of God's not bound. I don't have money anymore. But the Word of God is not bound. The Word of God's not bound as long as missionaries are sent to the field of their calling. That's why we're here. I told Miss Moore, the church supports 61 missionaries or missions projects. We spend more annually than we do on utilities. We spend very close to the amount this church spends on administration. We send out with missions. We send a lot of money out with missions. It's probably a number one monthly expenditure line item. Question is that enough? And the real question is, am I doing enough? What is enough? What did Christ do for me? I need more black on my ledger. And the fact is no matter how much black I put on my ledger, it will never wash away the red. Because that red was written in the blood of Christ. And how could I ever sponge that away with what I've done? But oh, does it deserve more line items? Well, preacher, we support 71, but there's still, or 61. Yeah, but there's still others that have never heard. I've said many times, I think almost every time we've had a missions conference, I would hate to be a lost individual in East Podunk somewhere waiting on an American Christian to get me the gospel. Do you realize the risk? Do you realize the risk that they will never hear the gospel, that they'll never have someone come to them? Do you realize that? Oh, we live in the land of plenty. But I'm afraid we're very much like that song I used to sing a long time ago. I thought about singing it today. There is peace and contentment in the Father's house today. Lots of food on the table and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by. But a hush calms the singing as the Father sadly cries. My house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? Seems my children all love to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field. The Word of God's not bound. Best I can see, the closest thing to binding the Word of God is for Paul saying, I'm stuck here, but the Word of God's not. I'm bound, but the Word of God's not. The best I can see it, the closest that the Word of God can come to being bound is about of what we do with it or we don't do with it. And I wonder this morning, I'm done. I just wonder, where are you at? Do you feel like the Word of God is bound with you? It should have gone out and it didn't. I should have said something I didn't. I should have sent this and I didn't. I should have gone there and I didn't. Just this week I had someone, Jake and I were somewhere and someone asked me some questions and I answered the questions. I walked away and I thought, I should have said something. Have you ever done that? Bound. Listen, this is not about giving more funds or giving funds so that we can send missionaries out, because the fact is, if we don't settle the question, am I going to be a river? I think I told you, it might have been Sunday school, but Wash Pennington, when I talked to him about how we were going to do missions, and he talked about how he was going to do missions, he said this. What a great statement. He said, Brother Greer, he said, I told God many years ago when I came here to pastor, God, I don't want to be a cistern church. He said, I want to be a river church. A cistern stores up. A river relies on God to keep it flowing. Sometimes I think we become cistern Christians and not river Christians. And thus the Word of God could do much more through me if I'd allow it to. And the Word of God could do much more with you. The issue here is not, are you going to give to missions or not this next year? That's not the issue. The issue is, Paul said, I'm in prison. I lack freedom, but the word of God is not bound. Then is it flowing through you or is it bound with you? It's a personal question. I have to answer it for me. You have to answer it for you. But we all know what God wants. He wants us to be that vessel in which we set it free so it can go wherever He wants and do whatever He wants. That's the question for each of us this morning. Let's bow our heads.